Very good. So please sit comfortably. Usually, start teaching at 8% or 5% or 8, 7, 6, 5. I should say, first of all, I will give the 8% in a few moments. But remember that this retreat is learning how to be peaceful, how to be still. And on the brochure which you have there is talked about kindfulness. So please just try and make it nice and peaceful, nice and calm, but not like a military camp. So I'm not going to be checking up on people, but if people, for some medical reason, have got a bad stomach or that you are sick, you do need to take something very light because you're taking some medication, that is fine. The point is, you know, that we won't have any police on duty checking up on your wounds to find out what you're doing. This is by learning. It's actually to use the simplicity of the 8 precepts. The fact that you don't need very much, but that is how we simplify our lifestyle so that it's so easy to get some deep, peaceful meditation. But as you will hear throughout this retreat, this is not forcing the mind, but it is learning how to relax the body and relax the mind. And there you get some very beautiful deep states of stillness, just as in the time of the Buddha. Now, just looking through the schedule, I know that you're suggesting just having the talks in the evening to be public talks, but 2 years ago when we had this, very few people would travel all the way from KL up here. So even though it may be a good idea, I think just as last time, I think it would be more important that the evening sessions would be the Q&A. Because instead of like an organized talk, these are the way that I organize retreats over in Perth. The mornings at 8 o'clock, that's where we give the public talk. And I know that you wanted to get some talks, actually to get recorded, but really I think it's, please excuse me, but I think it should be for the people here rather than other people there. Would that be okay? It's still very interesting to have the Q&A in the evening rather than a talk about Four Noble Truths or something else, because all of those talks, you know, I've done those so often, but the questions and answers in the evening, that's where you can write down on a piece of paper, just know your question, so that the evening talk is relevant to everybody in this room. And don't ever think that your question is really weird and that no one else is interested in it, because you will always find that your question is the same problem that other people share in this room. And so your question is very relevant. And it means that the talks which you give me in the evening, actually you give me feedback. And that feedback means I can address the problems which come up from day to day and answer them. And also, what usually happens is in the morning talk, sometimes you say something or you go to a certain area which triggers some very important questions. So, if that is okay with the organizers, you can give me some feedback later on if you think, well, no, I want to do it otherwise. But I've been doing this retreat for so many years, and these are the ways it really works. The morning is the formal talk, and then in the afternoon, the evening, we have the queue of questions. And then those questions, that's where you get very alive, because it's questions which are relevant to the practice, to the day. And of course, that was actually how the Buddha used to teach. He always used to have Dhamma Sarana, which is actually listening to the Dhamma, and then Dhamma Sakaccha, which is Q&A, discussing the Dhamma. So that's how I love to do that. And for the 8 precepts, I think you all know those 8 precepts. It's very simple, but I should explain them before you take them, because otherwise you don't know what the heck you're taking. You just know you. Chant along with me. So those 8 precepts are obviously not killing any living being. This other 5 precepts are not speaking. And then afterwards, we have, instead of just no adultery. This is actually cutting out all sexuality, you know, for the week. You know, so, you know, no sort of sexual behavior at all. So here, that you are just a human being. You're not a man, you're not a woman, you're just a human being, probably here. So you don't relate to anybody in any sort of sexual ways. And also it means that it's again much more peaceful. And afterwards we have the wine. And usually on the retreats, you know, we make that a little bit more, and we should call it noble silence. What noble silence means, it's not silence, it's noble silence. And the nobility of it is not just saying, I'm not going to speak for 6 days. It means you only speak if there's something important to say. So, if you see a snake in the ground, you know, you don't go around trying to bite it. You don't, you know, you just say it. Snake, beware, or whatever it is. So that way, that's noble silence. Stupid silence is you're not going to say anything. Fire, fire! You try and mind it, that's not good enough. So just try and keep it simple. And even saying to somebody, you went past somebody, and you know, they just say good morning to you. That is being kind. That's not breaking noble silence. That's coming from kindness. But if you go and say, good morning, what's your name? What do you do? And how old are you? And how long have you been meditating? Then that's obviously not noble. That's getting into a conversation. And even if you clearly don't want to speak at all, at a very, very minimum, to keep it noble silence, please smile at people. Because you know it can be very, very depressing for some people, especially if they're coming on a retreat for the first or second time. And they told me that I never want to go on a retreat again because it's so miserable. This man, I'm always going around just looking grumpy all day. And I smile at them and they get even more grumpy. Don't smile. So smiling is within noble silence. And it's also within compassion. So please smile at one another during the retreat, which means that actually you're encouraging a good mind state in the people you meet. But don't get into conversations. And please don't think that noble silence stops to simply get outside this hall, so you can chat, chat, chat outside, or thinking, oh, in your rooms, anything goes. No, don't keep quietness throughout the day. The only exception for talking is to get to something important while talking in your sleep. Some of you are so used to sleep talking, you become so talking in your sleep. No, just try and keep it as quiet as possible. That becomes that fourth precept. And the fifth precept, obviously, not taking any alcohol or non-medicinal drugs. So if you're taking some medication which has been prescribed by a doctor or psychologist, please continue to take that medication. Sometimes people are given a slip, they say, oh, no alcohol, no drugs, oh my goodness, I can't take my insulin. Which means you will die on this retreat. Or you may be taking some antidepressants. Please! There's only so much I can do to cheer you up. Please take those antidepressants. Otherwise, you go crazy during the retreat. Most people organizing this retreat will have a hard time dealing with it. So what the doctor has prescribed for you, please continue taking under the doctor's advice. But anything extra, anything, if you have a headache, you can take an aspirin. If you need to take an aspirin, that's fine. What it really means is you're not taking any ice. I don't mean the ice, and that means what it means. I don't mean the ice to cool you down. I mean just things like marijuana or heroin, those sorts of drugs. That's what we avoid. We should be avoiding that all the time, because they're very, very dangerous. So that means that we keep the fifth precept. And the sixth precept is not eating in the afternoon and evening. So that's of course something as a mantra I do all the time. But don't think it's bad for you. I've been keeping that precept for 42 years and still I put on weight. Which is one of the reasons I have to keep that precept, because if I ate in the evening as well, imagine what I would look like. But it's not hard to keep that precept. And of course there are so many exceptions. You know, all this other stuff which you can eat and in the afternoon, that's fruit juices, honey, chocolate. The general rule is, because sometimes people ask me, why is it that in some monasteries milk you can't eat, that you can't drink, but you can have cheese? It's the same, isn't it? And look, the point is that we've got to draw the line somewhere. Some monasteries draw a line in one place, another monastery draws a line in another place. Whatever you've decided here, I will go along with, because you get fed up with arguing over what goes in your mouth. It's more important what comes out of your mouth. Look after that one, rather than what goes into it. So just keep it simple. And that's all we need to do. And the next rule is, again, it's the double rule, it's not wearing any adornments. So you don't have to wear makeup, and for women that's such a wonderful thing. You know, I don't have to, because when you go to work, you go put on your lipstick and put this goes whatever else, you got to look good because that's what's expected of you. It's amazing here, you don't have to do any of that at all, it's only free. Which is a wonderful thing for women. But men, you don't need to wear makeup as well. Sometimes they think, you know, I have to wear makeup once. Twice in my life I've worn makeup. TV, yeah. TV in the studios. Oh dear. Anyway, so you don't have to wear that. No other adornments. Don't have to wear jewelry. It's great not wearing jewelry because some people, oh, they wear so much stuff dangling on them. And it makes all the noise. Especially the Indian women, not putting down Indian women or Sri Lankan women, but they wear so many bangles, it's fashion. So every time you have a Sri Lankan woman, like a high class woman, coming to the temple, it always sounds like an ice cream van coming. They don't need to wear any bangles or anything. And also just we don't have any entertainment as well. One nice thing about this hotel is, you know, they go to many rooms and have TVs. And, you know, here there's no TVs as well. But sometimes in some of those retreats I go, they put you in a hotel room, there's a big TV there. And I love watching the TV. I do. But I never turn it on, I just watch it. It's so much more peaceful when you don't turn it on. And if you look closely at the screen, it's not turning on. No one is peaceful. And if you look closely, you can see your own reflection. Try. So we don't have entertainment, singing or dancing. It is just not distracting ourselves. In other words, we keep it nice and peaceful. And the last precept is sometimes you get very confused about that. It's not using luxurious furnishings. It doesn't mean you have to sleep on the floor. I sleep on the floor in my monastery, but also I suppose on the platform in the BTF. I've got a bed here. So it's a simple bed. It's not sort of like a four-poster bed. It's not a water bed. It's not sort of a king bed or a queen bed, or an emperor bed, whatever else you've got. It's just an ordinary bed, and that is quite fine to sleep on a night and get a good night's sleep. The only reason why people in the rules here are not supposed to have luxurious beds and seats is just so it's simple, and we don't not bound. So you can use a seat, like the seat you have here, if you find it's not comfortable enough during the retreat. You can bring your pillows down, you can find some cushions from somewhere, borrow those, one under here, one under there, another one under the back, try and find out where you can get the most comfortable. And I've been trying to get people to actually Now these cushions you have here, they're just so low tech. This is supposed to be my lady's year. So instead of these days we've got these high tech cushions that are with remote control. So you push a button and then one part of the compartment it plays through there, so this one can come up. Or the back, lift the back up and then you can lower it down again. If it's too hot for you, you can actually cool out the air. If it's too cold, you can warm up the seat. So I mean, these cars, places like the United States, where you know, because it gets very, very cold, they actually press a button and then the car seat warms up. It's really fun. You just, even though your body was quite warm enough, you press it up and you see what happens. And even in the one which I have designed, it hasn't been built yet, but one day someone will make a fortune by having designed and meditation cushions. One, we can press another button and you get a cup of coffee out the side. In case you get sleepy during the meditation. But anyhow, but in the back we've got those types of cushions here, but at least you've got Ray finding, you are smart, yes. The two smart ladies over here. People get the wall seats. Now they are the most sought after. You can lean back and you better sort of grab that and put your name on it, because you go away for 5 minutes and someone else will get that. So you can be comfortable, which is really important when you're meditating. And we have got some chairs in the back. I'm not sure whether there's enough chairs there. Because later on during the retreat, sometimes you get very small backs, small bottoms. It's very difficult to meditate when you're just enduring pain. So, maybe later on if we can get some more chairs, it'd be great. And to actually just sit on the chairs as well. Yeah, in Perth, those of you to Jhana Grove, we've got lots and lots of chairs there. And I made sure that these were designed. We looked at so many chairs and so many shops and got them just designed to be exactly the right height we want. And just not too soft, not too hard. And you know where they were made? Here in Malaysia. The best meditation chairs. So we imported quite a lot of them. And so we did that. We even had some with armrests on. You know why we got the armrests? Because sometimes when people meditate, they're starting to go. That's got some falling off of the armrest. We've got other ones, you can get these little straps you can put around your foot. So you want those. Deep no, yes. So we've got the large chairs for people. So look, if there's not enough chairs, please ask the organizers to retrieve and get some more chairs for you later on if necessary. But it's also, you don't have to just meditate in this hall here. There are other places in this compound, I think, where you can find to meditate. Downstairs. Yeah. Right,
level five. Level five.
Level five. Walking meditation. So many other places, even like meditating in your room, it's nice and simple. Because if you're right there next to your toilet, you can sit on the bed to start the minute. It's nice. Put the pillow under your bottom. That means your pillow's being blessed. So, whatever it is, so that you can see if you can get comfortable wherever you are in this compound. It doesn't have to be over here. And I mention that because that is learning how to keep that precept, the last precept, not using luxurious furnishings, but comfortable ones. So you can get a good night's sleep, and so in the morning when you wake up, you can have just a very nice meditate. That's why we keep that precept. So it does not mean that you have to sleep on the floor with a wooden pillow. It doesn't mean you have to sit straight on the ground, pull all those cushions away. Those are the namby-pamby creepers, real meditators. We sit on the hard ground. That is so not true. Even the Buddha, he sat under the Bodhi tree, a beautiful shade. I know some of you just come back from India. But I first went to Bodh Gaya when I was 20, so that was 1971. And in those days, it was
hardly anybody there. And it was hardly, you could walk around with, you know, maybe three or four people around. It was amazing.
Obviously, it's many more people now, but it got me an idea of what that must have been like, you know, 500 years ago, 1,000 years ago, just a beautiful park just by the riverside. Of course, the river has dried up a lot now, but it would be idyllic, a beautiful park by the river, just sitting under a tree. Hardly any mosquitoes in those days. Nice and peaceful. So the Buddha actually chose a very comfortable place to meditate, to become enlightened. And even he actually chose, he got some grass from a rush cutter to put under his bottom, you know, to make it nice and comfortable. So it was learning how to look after your body, not to be indulgent, but to be comfortable. And that's the last precept, trying to get that middle way, not luxurious, but not ascetic seats, not proud, but just simple seats. And that's actually that eighth precept. So the precepts are very, very easy to keep here. It's just basically not indulging. And I think you can order that, and the food here I'm sure will be comfortable for you. If you do need anything special, I'm sure that you can go to the manager if there's any health requirements, and they will look after you as best we can. It's only just 7 days, so you can usually last. Okay, so is that clear for the eight precepts? Okay, so now we can give them formally. So I think it's in your book. I usually start with Namo Tassara, and then I do the Buddha Sammanatthami, and then I give the eight precepts. It's in the book, but we start with Namo Tassara. I say it first, you're quiet. And then, after I finish, you do Namo Tassara. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Now you guys. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Now that completes the three refuges. Now I will give the eight precepts. Pādātipātā vairāgaṇī sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Attinādānā vairāgaṇī sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Abhramacharya vairāgaṇī sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Bhūsāvādā vairāgaṇī sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Sura nevaya majjhava madhathāna vairāgaṇī sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Vikala Bhojana Vairamani Sikhapadam Samadhyami. Nacha Gita Vadita Visukha Dasana Mala Ganda Vilepana Dharana Vandana Vipusanatana Vairamani Sikhapadam Samadhyami. Usually when we do that precept, we put little pauses between the words. Nacha, Gita, Vadita. Because some people do it fast, some people do it slow. So it gives the slow ones a chance to catch up. Which means that we all sort of are in harmony together. So well done. The last one is Ucha Sayana, Vaha Sayana, Vairamani Sikhapadam Samadhyami. Now give blessing Imaniya to Sikhapada, Sileva Sukhasingati, Sileva Bhogasampada, Sileva Nibhutiyanti, Tasma Sila Visodaye.
Sadhu,
so that's the blessing preceded by the eight precepts. That just gives you a physical guide to how we run this retreat. And I'm sure that much housekeeping has also been given, where you have your breakfast, your lunches, cups of tea or coffee or whatever you need. And also that it's now the time to give a just general, not in brief detail, overview of this retreat, what you're doing here. Now, of course, that my job is to try and encourage, to teach, to lead, so that each one of you creates a peaceful mind. Simple, just peaceful. And later on, I'll try and describe what actually is peace. And to be able to do that, it's a kindfulness retreat. You'll find if you're aware and kind and practice accordingly, then the mind becomes really calm and peaceful. But there's a lot of things to be wary of and avoid. And the first thing is something which Ajahn Chah kept on telling me again and again and again, which was a very beautiful teaching. And I'm giving this to you right at the very beginning. We meditate not to attain anything. We meditate to let go. Now please understand that from the very beginning. If you're coming here to try and attain something, even good things, you'll find it will not work. Obviously some people, they've been coming to retreats a long time, and they want to get stages of enlightenment. They want to get these amazing deep meditations called jhanas or even lights in the mind. Say, well, I'm really going to go and get it today or this week. You'll find you'll be wasting your time if you think like that. Our job is to let go. There are others who may have some emotional problems in their life and they just want to come and just relax and overcome some of the emotional turmoil. But if you're coming here to get rid of all those inner problems, it won't work. Or you may come here because you've got some physical difficulties, like irritable bowel syndrome, or cancer, or many of these other diseases, which if you do meditation right, have great effects. But if say you've got a breast cancer, and you come in here to overcome the breast cancer, it won't work. You are trying to get something. And that getting something is a cause of stress. So here on this retreat, we're not trying to attain anything. or get rid of stuff. That's what you do in your life. We need to let go of as much as we possibly can. So let go of wanting, craving, trying to attain things. So let go of trying to get rid of things. So we let go of all this will and controlling. And whatever's left, we let that be. Sometimes people would argue with me, say, what's the difference between letting go and letting be? So, what happens when we let go of trying to change things, judge things, make things different? Stop trying to heal our diseases, just let it be. So it's not controlling, but whatever is left, we allow to exist to let it be. And if you do that, you're not trying to attain things or get rid of things. Then you find that amazing things happen. You do get peaceful. You do get calm. And the body starts to heal itself. And emotional problems, which are all stressed and amazing, disappear. There was one lady today, this morning, at the PCF, was asking about depression and how can meditation overcome depression. If you try to get rid of the depression, it will never work. It will just get you more disappointed, more frustrated, one more disappointment and failure in your life, and another one to add to the reasons why you get depressed. So instead of that, we don't fight these things. We don't try to get rid of anything. Instead, we just let it be. And when you let it be, what's wrong with being depressed? Is that against the 8 precepts? And in fact, there's a lot of advantages to being depressed. You don't need to go to work. You can eat whatever you want. People are always trying to cheer you up. People are always coming around to see you. You get a lot of attention. So I always say, if you are depressed, and you start to get out of the depression, don't tell your friends, don't tell your boss. Pretend you're depressed for a few more days afterwards so you can really enjoy it. What you're actually saying there is you're not trying to get rid of stuff, but allowing it to be. Just no energy, that's all. And if you fight these things, if you think, oh, I shouldn't be like this, that causes the problem. Many of you have seen my books. They're on sale at the BGF. And one of those books, it's the Good Bad Who Knows book. But over in the United States, they gave it another title. Thank you so much. Now, what is that? What amazing. Very good, thank you. You see, I don't try to get things. This is just what happens. That's what happens when you wake up. The book, yes. That book, Good Bad Who Knows, in the United States was given the title Don't Worry, Be Grumpy. Now that's a very important message of Dharma. In other words, if you're miserable, grumpy, upset, let it be. There's nothing against the precepts I've just given. There's not a precept I will refrain from being grumpy. We didn't say that once, so you're allowed to be grumpy. You're allowed to be tired. You're allowed to be miserable. And that's if you allow it to be. It's like when I was in Indonesia last time, they packed in a couple of t-shirts here. It was a happy everyday tour. That was the title of my tour when I was in Indonesia last month. Happy every day. And then as soon as I printed all these books, happy every day, little books, happy every day t-shirts, I said, well, it's okay being happy every day. What about at night time? Happy every day, happy every night. You put both in there. But then people would ask you, say, well, look, sometimes we feel miserable, we feel tired, we feel depressed, we feel angry. What about them? What should we do? It's so simple.
is when you're upset, be happy to be grumpy. When you're not feeling good, be happy not to feel good. That means you can be happy every day. So if you are miserable, be happy to be miserable. Don't worry, just be grumpy. Be happy to be grumpy. It's your right to be grumpy. And you shouldn't let other people tell you what to do. I'm a grown monk now, I'm old. And you know, before I left Perth, on Friday afternoon, evening, I gave a talk in Perth. I had to get up early on Saturday morning to travel here to KL. And I had all these people say, have a good flight, I said, well, have a nice time in Malaysia. And I said, no, I am not going to do what you, what right have you got to tell me to have a good flight? I'm going to have a flight I want. I'm not going to follow your orders. And I, if I want to have a miserable flight, that's my choice. I'm exercising my liberty. And I was making another point, like when people try and spread loving kindness. Have you ever heard people, Buddhists, describe loving kindness? May all beings be happy and well. What if you don't want to be happy? What if you're sick? And all these people trying to get you to become better, it makes you feel more miserable, makes you feel guilty that you're not living up to other people's what they want of you. So much is life. You always want to live up to other people's expectations, and now you're in hospital, and you're really sick, and somebody comes up and says, oh, hope you get better. That puts a pressure on you. For me, when I go and see someone in the hospital, I never tell them to go there. I say, you can be sick if you like, if you have my permission. And that gives them so much freedom. They're not having to try so hard to be well. Same if you're really miserable today. I will defend your right to be miserable. That's my loving kindness. I open the door of my heart to you no matter how you feel. So if you want to be miserable, you're most welcome to. And loving kindness these days, I tell people, may all beings be happy and well, and add if they want to. They don't have to be. They're quite allowed to be miserable if they want to. So you're not controlling people. You're not telling this world what to do and how to be. You're loving this world as it is. So that's why, if you do feel grumpy and miserable, enjoy it. Get the most out of it. Just be who you are and stop trying to improve yourself. This is not self-improvement. There's a story about this gentleman who went to a bookstore, and he went to the counter of the bookstore and asked the person on duty, can you please tell me where the self-help section is? And the lady behind the counter said, if I told you, sir, it would defeat the purpose. The self-help section of the bookshop. Find it out for yourself. I don't know what I mean. But you will find in the meditation, if you don't try to tame things, you let go of all of that and let be. You be in here, not trying to get somewhere. Then you find meditation starts to work. If you're trying to get somewhere, achieve something, it means you're not happy where you are. In that calendar, one of the first quotes in that calendar, which I love, when you want something more, how's it finished? You can't enjoy what you already have. If you want something more, you can't enjoy what you already have. And if you're not enjoying what's happening now, there's no way you're going to see the position. This is one of the great sayings of the Buddha. Sukhino Chittan Samadhiyati. He said it so many times, it's a waste of time quoting it, because I've got a whole list of suttas. Sukhino Chittan Samadhiyati, which means from happiness, from joy, the mind becomes still. Gets into samadhi, from joy. So this is actually why we
If we want something more, we have no joy in the present. We sacrifice in this moment. Don't do that. Enjoy this moment. And from that joy, you will get stillness, the stillness of meditation. Big time. So I'm saying this at the very beginning, because this is going to be a theme. It will recur again and again and again. You've heard it before, being in the present moment. If you really are in the present moment, you really are now. There's no future, there's no place for wanting to find good. You need a future to get somewhere. If you let go of the past, there's no angle of your will. It's all gone with the future. If it's in present moment awareness, there's nothing else you can do except to let it be. No possibility. You've heard that before. You've all heard letting go and letting be, you've heard that so often. But you don't practice it. You've heard about compassion. May I be happy and well. Now? Why not? Stop waiting for the future. You've always put things off in the future. I'll be happy more, maybe tomorrow. Maybe an hour's time. I'll do this, do that, get that out of the way. Make this effort and then I'll be happy later. Does it ever work? Never. So when you stop trying to get something, you let go of trying to take things. Then you find you have a lot of peace, a lot of joy, and incredible stillness. That is the path of meditation. It gets you into this deep bliss state called chance. You know, somebody asked me, who was actually on their car, driven from the airport. He said, can everybody get chance? I said, yes. Lay people? Yes. How long does it take? That's a stupid question. How smart are you? If you really are smart, you'll understand what I'm saying. You'll get this very quickly. It's not about effort. It's about being wise. Really wise. Big time wise. Seeing things which other people can't see. Let go. How easy can that be? Just let it be. But I'm going to be working all week to get to let go. Will you? No. So I'm trying at that point. Oh, crikey. Don't try to let go. Let go of trying. But if I did that, it's going to go on. Let go! So I do this once and I'll finish with it. I did this 2 years ago and I think it was Tatu Vita help me out. Because can I ask you again to help me out here? Do you trust this man?
Yes.
Is he honest?
Yes.
Okay, come on. Now, my task is to get the water in my cup to be perfectly still. Has it stopped moving yet, Tatu?
Stop.
Oh, you know what? I'm not paying attention. I'm not being mindful. So now I'm going to be mindful. Does it stop moving yet?
I still feel that.
Oh, because I have to not concentrate. Concentrate. Okay. I'm now going to concentrate.
No, not happening.
No. Okay, that's how many people meditate. For 7 days, you're mindful, you're concentrating, you're trying to get your mind to be still, but it does not work. And some people say, oh, I can't get so I give up. Or you get stressed out. They say, well, you've got a little bit still. I'm making progress. No, you're not. So how do you make this to be perfectly still? So easy. Put it down. And relax. No concentration, only be mindful. You don't really have to be patient. Let it go and be patient. Now, Joshua. Yes, what? Very good. Thank you. Do you trust him? Thank you. Round of applause. Thank you. And that's actually so deep an exercise in how to meditate. Stop grasping your mind and trying to say things. Put it down. Let it go. Separate, detach yourself from your mind. Stop holding it. Let it become still all by itself. So simple to demonstrate, but so hard to do.
Because what many people do, they put it down. It's not good in here. Really? Oh, okay. Come on. Maybe this one, that's my third one. Maybe this is the best way to look at this film. You always keep interfering. Put it down and back out. Just watch and then it gets through all by itself. Yeah, that's the most amazing thing to watch for the first time. When you just let go, and you really do it, you really are letting go, you just give up. A lot of times people have to get frustrated, first of all. They meditate, and they say, I'm getting nowhere, I'm getting hopeless, this is awful. Eventually, they give up. Oh, I'm hopeless, I'm just, who cares? And that's when the grass becomes still. That's when there's great meditations. Oh, I remember this one Malaysian girl. I could not say who she is. But, give a clue. She's now a nun at Dharamsala. So there's quite a few nuns at Dharamsala, and this is one of those. She came on one of my retreats. I won't say where, though, I'll give the game away. She was trying to meditate. 9 days of frustration. Came to see my gave her advice, nothing worked. But the retreat ended, we finished it. But she arranged her taxi or a bus to take her to the airport. It's after the lunch, we'd all finished off. The bus wasn't coming for another hour. So she had an hour to kill. So what did she do? Might as well sit down and meditate. Because she'd been trying all week, getting nowhere, really putting effort in, I think she was letting go, and now, oh, what the heck, I'm just going to kill time. And after the hour she came to see me, I'll never forget it, I was sitting on a chair, I think, having a cup of tea, and she was looking up at me and saying,
Oh, so lovely.
Something like that, only that's more. I'm trying to act. But I never was good at acting.
But she was so pissed out. The first time in her life, she learned how to meditate. What was she doing?
Killing time.
Not trying to get anywhere. She'd been trying all week. And she came up.
And that's as you go to deep meditation.
So, to help you, you're all totally hopeless. You're not going to get anywhere. They might as well give up and just kill them. That's just a trick.
Maybe this time you believe me. No, I'm hopeless. I'm going to give up. And then you make it to deep meditation. And crack it.
Yeah.
Okay,
I'll do
meditation, like
practical
meditation, you might show them, and then
stability and fast, you know. You just pick one. Yes, okay. The bare minimum. All right. So, do what we call bare awareness. You've heard that before, if it's bare awareness. Now, people in. They hear these words, they don't know what they mean. So they think bare awareness is sitting here and doing nothing. No, they can't do nothing. But bare awareness is putting a bear, it's short of any bare awareness, in your lap. And when you're meditating, you cuddle with it. Get it right? And you would think, what am I doing that for? It's so soft and kind and safe and warm. That it generates this beautiful mind state of softness and kindness and happiness and joy, which actually makes the meditation much more simple and successful. You're enjoying the moment. It has that bit of joy and kindness. It's a symbol of kindness. And if you're sitting for long periods of time and your knee starts to ache, lift it up. Oh, please, what a number. So, it's also a meditation cushion.
So, no, put it in your lap, that's the best place to put the prayer, not having a box when you're meditating. And we've been doing this. Where I came from? This came from Hong Kong. This young man in Hong Kong brought two of his teddy bears off the retreat. So what did he do that for? He said, oh, just to bring some more kindness and softness and gentleness in, because it could have been too hard. So he put that off the retreat, everyone got really soft. At the end of the retreat, there were some very wealthy people in Hong Kong. They were offering him hundreds and thousands of dollars for us. They said, no, they're my bears, go buy you up. It was just so popular that people would borrow them and put them on their lap and get great meditations. And other people they thought this is absolutely ridiculous. They've never seen this in any other retreat except my bear awareness retreats. And they think, oh, this is stupid. This is not meditation. Where did you get this idea from? But they tried. And it works. And the camera said, yeah, it worked. I had a really nice meditation. And I had a bear on my lap. I said, yeah, of course. And so, quite frankly, they can borrow these bears. Five people actually, but these will go in a few hours. If you really want them, you better get it quick. There's only a few here, there's more of you. So if you do borrow them, please meditate them for 9 days, share them out, put them back after a couple of good meditations, and you'll find it's a wonderful way to meditate. At the end of this retreat, you get your favorite bear, and you really think, oh, can I take this home with me? And apparently you can, because these ones over here, are these PTF bears, or are they?
Yeah.
They're PTF bears, okay. So I'm sure that you can negotiate with Victor afterwards for how much this is worth for you. It's just so nice, it's so cunning, just close your eyes and oh, this is really nice. It gives you that start of joy which makes it easy to meditate. So I've been using bear awareness in my temples and other temples that have been very, very powerful. So most welcome. And thank you for bringing this deal for me since the retreat. Okay, so is that a common question? It's probably a nice time now to have a break. And we'll come back at 8 o'clock. That's the right answer, 8 o'clock? Yeah, at 8 o'clock, it won't be question and answer this evening because we haven't done anything yet. There'll be like a formal talk at 8 o'clock about meditation. And then from tomorrow, there'll be another talk in the morning, 9 o'clock. And then tomorrow evening, we'll start the Q&A. Is that okay? Okay, very good. Okay, so now you can come back and have a nice cup of tea or walk around. Meditate here, meditate there, whatever you need to do. So at the end of every talk, we do the three sadhus before we go off to take a break. Are you ready? Sadhu! 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 Always one of my biggies. It brings some happiness to you.